Hi, good evening. This is Arpad from X-Professional Podcast. Our podcast is about explosion protection. Explosion protection is a very interesting field, field of compliance, field of engineering, field of electrical, non-electrical instrumentation, all involved. That's always a kind of fuzzy question. What do we understand as explosion protection? What kind of industries, who are the key players of explosion protection? And how does it work? Today, we have a very special guest, my old mate, Gerge Jambrik. Gerge, welcome to the X-Professional podcast. Welcome back again.
Good evening, Arpad, and also good evening for the audience. Nice to hear you again.
Yeah, that's always a pleasure to have you here. We already had one edition that was in Hungarian, and now we are shooting in English. I do believe there is a special reason for that. A couple of years ago, you have done your COPC, your IECX COPC, and it was like, I do believe, like 4 years ago.
2019.
Yeah, sure. Who counts it yet? The funny point that it's time to renewal. Yes. So I told you that's a good opportunity. Let's summarize your experience. What have you done with the COPC? What kind of experiences you've gathered? So how do you feel? Was it worth to do it?
Definitely, yes. Yes, I can underline it. I have learned much about explosion protection itself, but also from the aspect of to see many things from the other side. Not as a manufacturer, but also as a user, because we as a manufacturer, due to our production, we are also handling hazardous material. We transport it, we fill it up, and so on. So we also acting as a user, and also among our customers or clients, there are more and more questions coming up, which relating not definitely to our products or our assemblies, but in general questions like explosion protection concepts and plant safety and the knowledge of explosion protection. So they are searching for a partner who is reliable and lead them on their way from the very concept until the end of the life cycle of their plants. And we see also this, we were talking about this demographic change, that the old and experienced personnel, they are getting more and more retired nowadays, and the new engineers or technicians, electricians in the offices and on the field, they have not that much experience at the moment. They need time, and we see this trend coming more and more that the clients. Small clients, but also big players, would like to have a reliable partner on their side for the case of explosion protection for different kind of concept or hazardous analysis or engineering as well, to help them from one hand.
If we are summarizing all the duties of a manufacturer, you can say, first of all, you are not only a manufacturer, you are also a user of hazardous materials, like you said. So in that way, you create your own hazardous area. It's like a playground for you, because you can sell to yourself your own products, yes? that's what we call in-house sales, yes?
Yes, for one.
Not too bad. No, I can understand the numbers of your company. Okay, that's fun. Okay.
That's also an upselling potential. Yeah, that's
not too bad. So, I mean, another.
Yeah, but
not...
we have As you know, we also make coating and
I fully understand. But on the other side, what you have just mentioned, that the big players on the market, we can say like Stahl, Siemens, ABB, and the other ones, they gathered such a huge experience, competence on the market, yes, from all the various learning curves, okay, development of different standards, different solutions, etc. So that definitely gives a possible way of consultation to clients. And let us be honest, and that's always interested me. You are from the electrical side, yes? So your products like light fittings, like GVs, like control stations, HMIs, stuff like this. But in the recent years of explosion protection, the big newbie was the non-electrical, yes? Pumps, skids, generators, pumps, etc., ACs, and so on. So all these have introduced and have given another field of possible combination of the two disciplines, like electrical and non-electrical. And I do believe the majority or a high number of interest shall come to you from non-electrical manufacturers, non-electrical solution providers, that, okay, I not only I need a control station, okay, or a control system, a PLC included, etc., with a UPS, for example. No, I need the compliance side as well, okay? So like documentation, ignition source assessment, etc., etc. So that's again can be a very interesting base of EX personal competency other than your original field of expertise, electrical, yes? So we can say
yes.
So
we can say that that's very interesting, a new field of application for myself, for my personal background as well, because due to my role, I have already faced some kind of questions like these, which were focusing of non-electrical explosion protection, and the common understanding, it's very wide ranged at the end users, and also the relating directives and standards are very not so easy to understand, and very open for interpretations. And that makes a bit complicated to find the right way how to handle all these stuffs, with especially if we are talking about ignition sources, ignition hazard assessment, and so on. That's not very easy to handle this.
Not at all. And if we just would highlight, let me say, the differentiation between electrical and non-electrical part of compliance, that could be a very interesting sortiment. Let us give the ball, okay? What sort of documentation is needed to deliver the compliance of an electrical product? Can we say just in general?
In general, you can say it's the COC, certificate of compliance for if you are talking about ICX or the EU declaration of conformity for ATEX, then your instruction manual, and that the most those are the most important patent documents, because they are also including the special condition use. Special condition of use, if there are any, and also the your documentation, like the part list and all the wiring diagrams and the different kind of necessary documentation, which are just case to case belongings to the deliverables.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
And from the other side, you have clear product standards and clear standards for the applied type of explosion protection, like increased safety or flame proof or for a molded and so on, intrinsic safety. So it's not that the common sense and also the experience during the certification stage, and also to consider them as an assembly, it's more easy, because you are handling electrical products. It's not that abstract.
Yeah, but we can say the big difference to non-electrical is for category 2, you only need a technical fire registration for non-electrical, which also includes the possible assets, the electrical assets as well, and the other documentation, which you just listed. And the technical fire registration, I do believe that's very important to announce that that's not a certification. It's just a delivery of the certificate of compliance from the manufacturer's side, okay? And that's certainly the responsibility of the manufacturer, but there is no third party checking, control, how we call it, okay? So that's a big difference. But all the others, like the implemented management system, the various documentations, these shall be the part of, even for the non-electrical, including their electrical assets as well, like a junction, like a switch, like a ventilation, whatever. Okay, so that's all part of it. But let me say that's also, I still find it very interesting on the market that a lot of people do not know about. And that raises me a question. How far shall go a manufacturer to inform about the client about the deliverables? What has to be in the pocket? What has to be included in the package?
As a
manufacturer.
As a manufacturer for the electrical components, like we do, it's just what we have mentioned.
Yeah, I know, but is there a request?
From the user's side,
do you have to educate the users that what are the minimum requirements for a set of documentations? Do you receive such kind of request or majority of the users they know about? What is your experience?
I would turn it around because if we are talking about the plant manager or the production manager, for example, they have much more awareness about the EX compliance of their plant, because they are facing these problems every day. And if they have an assessment from a third party, they are the first ones who must handle this problem if they have a non-conformity report because of any case of issues. And from the other side, it's also important to place these stuffs in the management. And actually, if you're talking about like this, it's also shall be placed on that way, that they are also responsible for the working place, and they are as managers. And this is what we don't see at the moment. But we That's what I told. I would turn it around because our target is that beyond our products or assemblies or our systems, we would like to also increase the UX compliance at the clients. And so we also would like to place and educate them for the awareness of explosion protection and to be compliant, to understand what they are need to pay attention on, how to handle all the documentation, all the risk analysis, how to build up their own documentation for their plans.
I truly agree, but you said they are responsible for creation. They are documentation system, but their documentation system shall include your documents. And let me say, the majority of the cases we facing is very simple. Documentation is missing. Okay, so the first step of any non-compliance issue is the lack of documentation. And not only I'm talking about like a hazard cell classification or similar, but a simple missing manual of a light fitting, okay? And stuff like this. And because people simply believe it's like an IKEA manual, you know, which you immediately throw away, and then at least five times you will mount your, I don't know, eating desk or whatever from IKEA. And that's a typical issue. And they simply just throw away, nobody cares. And I can tell you, a few years back, I've been part of a German working group from DIN, and that was about the creation of this QR code system. The QR code system, which I do believe you have already incorporated into your QMS, as far as I know, but others as well. And that enabled the user to have an immediate access on each and every asset to a special cloud provided by the manufacturer to have access to the original documentation of the device they delivered as a product or part of the product or part of the skid, etc. How do you see this one? People use this QR code? They are aware of that possibility?
I've already seen some rating plates with QR codes, and this kind of asset management is coming more and more with it's just right because of the digitalization and so on and all these hypes nowadays, but from my point of view, what does a QR code bring you if you don't have internet access?
That's a good question.
What are you going to do with the QR code on a platform where you don't have any internet connection?
That's again a very good question. And with what tools you can read the QR code in a hazardous environment? Yes.
That's another case. Yeah.
That's a typical issue where
Also, if you have a device, an EX device, it doesn't give you green light to bring it into the plant.
No.
And the plant manager still can tell you,
reject.
I'm not allowed to bring this stuff inside.
Yep.
It might have all the necessary certificates. You can bring it into zone zero or something like that, but it doesn't help you if they are not assessed that and they are not implemented in their management system. And from that point of view, what we always tell to our customer, and if there is any discussion about like this, that as we do as a manufacturer for explosion protection, we also have established some systems to prove our EX compliance, like our management system. Yes, we have common structures like the engineering tools or IT infrastructure and so on. And we have defined places where we record our documentation to every single switchgear we sell, every single serial number we sell, every single assembly we sell. We sell. And we can identify due to the serial number any kind of switchgear we have delivered. And that's must be implemented also at the skid manufacturer, yeah? that they allocate all their components to the skid and provide the documentation to their customer with also with the special conditions what the clients need to install, commission, maintenance afterwards, and what kind of necessary points need to be taken into consideration to operate safe. And they must define for themselves it's an electrical place, yeah, electronic place, like a hard drive or somewhere and a paper documentation. But if somebody has a problem or they got a third party inspection, all the documentation should be found in less than a minute, let's say. That this shall be the ideal world.
Yep, yeah, but in a previous podcast, we already discussed about ideal world of explosion protection and certainly immediate access to documentation. That's a message of the Dash 14 as well, with verification dossier and or ATEX, the explosion protection documentation, immediate access, which includes as well immediate update on any changes. So yeah. Do you believe the MOC, the management of change way of thinking, that's a very obvious topic in any hazardous environment? And I do believe, I do assume that's in that way a huge responsibility for all players, especially because who is the most affected, whose product is used, applied on on site, okay? So if it's a switchgear, if it's a lamp, etc., that everyone in charge has to communicate the same. So in that way, I do believe that's a very important topic. But on the other side, all the people in charge for compliance, especially for EX compliance, I do believe majority of the cases they do receive a late call. So almost at the very late stage of commissioning or similar, they are invited and they are asked for delivered their services, and that's never without consequences. This we can say immediately. And
I agree. Yeah. It's the same what we experience.
Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, and that would be a very interesting topic to discuss. How this we can change?
Yes, just one point back to the non-electrical equipment. You know, if you remember, I think you have raised this article topic in one of your posts some years ago, that actually the ISO 8079-36 was not even a harmonized standard with the European standards until 2018 or 17 or something like
16.
No, 16. And also I think this is one of the problem why it's still complicated to anyone to assess non-electrical equipment for the hazardous location as well. This is one of the major point.
That's a very new subject, a very new field of science, we can say. And in that way, the non-electrical manufacturers not yet have enough expertise, experience on with the same. And that's clearly visible. And let us be honest, all the industrial people are interested in the functionality. Yes, it shall work, it shall run, it shall operate. And nobody cares about, or less people care about, that there is a framework which we call exposure protection, and in a hazardous environment, that's already a topic. Look at now all the H2 issues. Everybody is talking about that it's flammable, but nobody talks that it's explosive. Okay.
Oh, that could be another podcast. Yeah.
That would be another podcast. And again, just two editions back, we had Dr. Thorsten Arnold here, and he was just introducing his new book about non-electrical explosion protection, and we also discussed this H2 topic, which is a kind of interesting. But back to the non-electrical part, I do believe with the time it will come, and more attention will be focusing on this topic, even from the manufacturers, but also from the user's side as well, because
because they are the
end point. Yes, they have to do the lifetime tracking.
Yes, and also the manufacturers, they have electrical and non-electrical part now coming together as the standards getting harmonized more and more, and the requirements will be there. They have to make their own assessment how to handle that.
Yeah, absolutely true point, because this assessment has to happen from the manufacturer first, and then from the installation company, and then from the end user as well. Okay, and all the trainings we do.
And as a manufacturer, as a skid manufacturer, you have to provide every necessary information to the end user that he can implement their hazardous risk assessment into their hazard analysis, and the hazardous area classification of the skid in their hazardous area classification and in their verification dossier later on.
Okay, but you talked here about a delegation of responsibilities and delegation of duties, okay? So not the original verification dossier will be valid at the end of the day, but a reworked...
Must be adapted.
It must be updated. And that's a crucial point of here, because majority of the users... I'm not pointing on any specific, but in general, they are happy with the very first one, yes? And they are pointing on the manufacturer, hey guys, you wrote it, but it has nothing to do with my side, so it's who are you, okay? And so that's a very, this kind of implementation, this kind of, how to say, localization, okay? That's something very... hard topic, not even to understand, but also to manage. Okay, and at all trainings, so let me say this example: we always introducing a very interesting change on the homepage of ATEX directive, because before 2010, it was written electrical. Installations, electrical explosion protection. And from that point on, till up to now, it's written non-electrical explosion protection. Okay, so currently, everything is under non-electrical. It doesn't mean that electrical is not worse anymore, or not with a high potential of risk, or with high attention, or whatever. No, it just means that, it only means, I would say that way, that electrical is almost well coordinated, well managed, And the same has to be done with the non-electrical, and there is a way to go, okay? So yeah, it needs a lot of inspiration and input from the electrical side. So what you have just mentioned at the beginning of our podcast, that you, as a manufacturer of electrical assets, you receive a lot of inquiries from skid manufacturers or users of similar installations to have their verification done. Yes, their compliance work done. And I do believe that's a good sign, because in that way the transfer of knowledge is well managed, because it's from a source who has the potential, who has the knowledge, and who has the years of expertise. So I do believe that's also a very good point again why all these well-established, long years on the market manufacturers have to have skilled people like you.
Definitely, yes.
And not only regarding focusing on their products, but in general for delivering services, for delivering consultation, and what we call EX owners engineering.
I agree with a full
interview of the information, I do believe in that way that's a very interesting topic. So that's
this is nothing it's actively the clients actively asking those kind of questions.
That's good.
Place their requirement for those kind of problems, and to deliver them a solution for that one, because they know that we have decades of experience, that we have long-term developed people who understand these. We as a manufacturer, we also attending in the different working groups, and we are attending in TC31 on the international level, at IEC and so on. So it's nothing that we see these trends coming, that as I mentioned at the beginning, due to the demographic change, the questioning we get more and more in this direction.
I do believe that's a good sign, because it first shows the understanding of the client that they have lack of compliance or missing compliance in that way. So it has to be done. It has to be managed, and it has to be maintained as well. But first of all, it has to be created. And in that way, that's an important. The change, the generation, new engineers and where the expertise is given, other trainings or let me say a point of gathering where people can exchange information. Certainly all these big conferences are possible choices for that, but that certainly doesn't give enough room for it. Okay, so still needs to be done. And in a manufacturing lot, I do believe that's a good combo. It shall work, and as we see, it works pretty well. So I do believe that's a good sign. So I'm certainly very eager to see you at about the renewal. Okay. I do believe, and that's also it's not a. Let me say, this podcast is not about marketing of whatever IECX, COPC, or any other one. But That's always interesting change, because such a renewal request, again, delivery the proof of evidence of your knowledge. So it's not just a repapering, okay? There will be tests again, something that, so you have to show up that you've been a key.
Yeah, theoretical, practical.
Yeah. Not only theoretical, but also practical. So I do believe that that's something very transparent. Even later on, not only for you, but for all the others who are in connection with you, that they can see, because they can have, they can look into these papers, and because that's also transparent on the website of the system, that what you have done, what results, what achievements, and I do believe this is how such a system shall work.
But this is why we also update regularly our engineers here in the company, but also the other colleagues who are working in research and development, to update their personal competency that they are can handle and apply the actual standards and understand them, because it's a very complex subject, and this is why we have built up several tools to give them the understanding, give them constructional and engineering rules and so on. And I think the other companies who normally work in the industry, and they are facing other problems. They have electrical issues to solve. They have a plan to build a mixture of EX and non-EX. And I think they are happy if they have a reliable partner they can turn to in the case of, or in the manner of explosion protection. And that's where we can help, definitely.
I do believe a very important marking of any company working on the field, that they have good colleagues. And let us be honest, a manufacturer itself, as long as the colleagues do not leave the gates, the plot of the manufacturing side, they are not recognized, yes? Because the recognition comes from the product itself. Yes, all the papers we listed just at the beginning, they are important. They will be the proof of evidence of compliance. But as soon as the people of the manufacturer, they leave the site, give consultation or do any maintenance on the product, settings, revamp, installation, or maybe repair, they shall be immediately recognized person by person, okay? And they shall be listed as competent person or competent people. And certainly they have to have much wider knowledge than only the product itself. They have to know all the installation standards, all the classification standards. So that's a bunch of information which is very colorful, yes, very bright. And in that way, it has to be updated regularly. It's like let us jump back to the ATEX directive itself for the operational side, ATEX 137, which says that in a regular base, immediate update has to happen to the colleagues on site, yes? So the same is valid for anyone. That's true to all my colleagues, okay, as well, that we educate ourselves, we attend to educations, or like you said, international conferences or similar, or TC31, because that's a must.
It's an interesting question, that this kind of asset management to really, it's if you're talking about verification dossier or explosion protection document in case of ATEX, it's always a living document. It's never be ready, actually, because you have you have modifications, you have changes, and all this kind of stuff must be communicated and find their channel through the whole organization at the end. Yeah.
Fully agree. And that's let us not forget you are part of a manufacturing company and other manufacturing companies as well. They are on a duty to deliver a long-term compliance through their products, yes, or your products. But as well, if they do additional services, their competencies, etc. But on the other side, let us jump to the end user side. In the majority of the cases, they do believe they purchased one EX certified product and happy. And no maintenance needed because this is an EX product. So EX products can withstand anything, yeah? And they don't even recognize that sometimes an EX product is more sensitive than any other one. Look at all the intrinsically safe solutions, okay?
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And stuff like this. Or
also maintenance flame path and
yeah, the flame
and so
paths
on.
I wanted to say or the critical distances etc. Okay, so these are
a very popular topic in commissioning, how to install a cable gland. Yeah,
for example, a cable gland, the first curve, yes, how long it shall be straightforward, and or the IP ring and similar stuff. Ingress protection topics.
But just look at all the EU certified enclosures, what you are finding, what you can find in many plants, that the people think they can put everything inside and that's okay and that works.
Unfortunately, it happens, and certainly a lot of similar, controlling actions on the market, checkings, etc., are driven by money, okay, and that's certainly doesn't make anyone have less responsibility regarding the topic, because that signature which is on the paper is with responsibility, okay. So that many people unfortunately forget very easy. And then after something happened, an incident on site, certainly that's an immediate action, okay.
And still you can say that the products remain safe, and they still work, they still maintaining explosion protection, but it's also because of the very, very high level of safety margins and so on coming out from the product standards. Yeah.
Okay, so but with the scheduled intervals and inspections, etc., you have to validate this topic, like the 3 years, etc. And unfortunately, in many countries, standards are not considered to be mandatory. Yes. And they just say, hey guys, this is something which is an optional solution, and the product itself has a 10-year old certificate, so why it wouldn't be with less ready, study, functional status of the asset itself. And that unfortunately happens. So certainly,
this could be an interesting issue for a QR code. What you have said,
absolutely.
To place such an inspection plans or something like that.
But also,
still remains the question: what are you doing with the QR code if there is no internet connection?
Yeah. I mean that's a solid question. Yes. certainly, possible business opportunity as well. EX safe internet. Yes.
But
then talk about the EX Safe GDPR, yes?
Yes.
whatever. But I would say that again highlights the importance of the education from manufacturer side to the client, because in many cases the client itself is in connection with the manufacturer. You know, they pay the invoices, they see deliveries, they do the logistics, etc. And in that way, I do believe the sales of the product shall more and more highlight the compliance issue as well. And not only the sales of the product is important, but the communication of the additional requirements related to the product, okay? Because I still believe there is a solid misunderstanding on the product that I buy an EX product and this EX product is good for everything. And
I think this topic will be very good covered by the new standard for assemblies.
A dash 46, if you mean.
Six.
Yeah, it's a good one, but let us not forget that's not a harmonized standard. That's an engineering way of standard, and I pretty much admire it. I love it. Okay, I was part of the working group as well, but
on me too.
I know. But on the other side, that's not a harmonized standard. Okay, so. There is again not a third party control on this, so there will be a manufacturer of skid, a manufacturer of the electrical board or cabinet, etc., and that. Way the compliance, the documentation of the checking and the control, etc., that will be like a COC, okay, or a DOC, sorry, a DOC, because in that way declaration of conformity will be the top level document. And
but even if this will not be an harmonized standard in the beginning. But I think it still give a good possibilities to open discussions and open the
connection point to
wake awareness.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of solutions possible to install within the hazardous areas. Okay.
Yeah.
For example, let us be honest, a lot of H2 solutions, which otherwise cannot be the solution. Certainly, again, here, look at the Dash 13, the XV. That's a possible topic. I would say there are a lot of options. And certainly, we just raised very interesting topics. I'm certainly not willing to, mislead your... attention from the learning curve, what you are into and doing your renewal of COPC. I do believe if we all summarize this and we highlight that the EX topic is there at an early stage of any possible installation, and a greenfield, a brownfield project, that's a good sign, because it says that someone finds this topic attractive, finds this topic something to be handled, and in that way there shall be a clear delegation of the responsibilities to deliver. And the final product will be with EX compliance, if with a third party check or without, like Dash 46 or technical fire registration again. But then we are turning all to the manufacturer, and the manufacturer has to have the to the end user, and the end user has to have the same understanding.
Yeah,
and
that's why we always, that's the crucial point. Yeah, and that's that from my side as well. That as you said, you receive the calls on the late stage. That's what I can underline. I would also would like to force the end users call us much earlier. Call us in the design stage.
Yeah, and specify your needs.
Yeah,
ambient circumstances. Okay, in where you want to have this functionality to be realized, and all these will sum up in a final solution. And again, EX here is a framework, okay, and not the final, destination. It's a framework, and everything, okay, not only the product, but the agency, the fire safety, and all these around has to comply with it. And that's the crucial point. Gage, I really appreciate your time. That was amazing. And
me too.
It's always a pleasure. Now it's like 11 p.m. So it's a kind of late discussion. This edition will go public like in a week time, and I'm really happy to have you here, and wish you
thank you very much for the opportunity again.
Wish you best of luck for your renewal, and see you soon in person. And so again, this was Exprofessional podcast about explosion protection. As you might have seen, that's a very interesting topic, not only related to electrical or other discipline, but all together, because at the final stage, that's a framework where all assets, but they are operation as well, and people around and involved has to comply with it. And this is what we are addressing, and in the future as well. So thanks for listening, and talk to you soon. Yep, see you. Bye-bye.